Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride is here, too. She's our good friend and senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and longtime member of our Brain Trust and just a great resource for us and an abiding member of all the things that we do here. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good. It's good to have you back. Hey, Joan, have you ever heard anything called SPIM?
SPIM, S-P-I-M?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, folks, those of you who...
Is that like a relative of spam?
You're so smart.
I can't put anything past me, boy.
That's exactly right. This lady's like a mind like a steel trap. But no, you're exactly right. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. Folks, remember when... Maybe you heard this and I just didn't hear it. The last half hour when Alan Friedman was here, he's one of our technology experts, Joan, and he brought us something. We were talking about instant messaging. And he said, well, there now is something called SPIM. And I thought he said spin, S-P-I-N. Maybe you heard that, and I just missed the M. It's S-P-I-M for instead of, but what this is, Joan, as you so astutely observed, misintuitive there, is that SPIM is spam for IM, for instant messaging.
Oh, no.
They have that now.
Poor people who like to instant message, now they're going to be afflicted with this.
Well, that's what Alan said. Now, so far, right. I haven't had that problem yet.
That's good. You like IM, don't you?
Well, no. You know, I only do IM when I'm on the show with my network. That's one of the ways we used to communicate with.
Yeah.
And I use it when, and Hildegard and I use it from time to time when she's not here, during the show especially. And also... I was IMing my son when he was in Iraq.
That was actually pretty neat.
That was way cool.
Yeah.
That was way cool. But anyway, I just wondered if you knew what SPIM was.
Well, you just told us what it was.
Yeah, I just wondered if you knew. And apparently you did.
You
did without knowing that you did, right?
Well, it's sort of. I mean, when you think of a word, when you listen to the word, it's sort of...
What is that? Onomatopoeia?
Sort of logically figure it out.
Is that onomatopoeia? Is that what that's called?
Oh man! Now you're testing me.
Aren't you impressed that I knew what that was? even though I might not even.
Oh, I know what onomatopoeia is.
Oh,
it's like quack quack.
Exactly. Well, isn't spam like an
like
onomatopoeia?
Quack quack. Yeah. I don't know.
How did we get off in these weeds,
Joan?
I think we got off in the weeds a little bit.
So, are you saying that the Kiplinger letters about onomatopoeia?
No, I didn't. I did. This has nothing to do with the Kiplinger letters.
I'm trying to segue here.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good one, Joan. That wasn't your best effort.
I didn't say it was good.
What about the economy in 2005, Joan? You guys wrote about this week.
Well, normally we're rather upbeat, but we're just slightly less than upbeat this time.
You're a little bit of a negative Nelly today.
So to speak. We say there's a soft patch coming. So we're not saying, you know, don't get frightened, don't get upset. It's not going to be a recession. But we're saying we're going to have kind of a slow period, the beginning of 2005.
And, Joan, I need somebody to blame this on.
Well, as you read through it, there's a couple of culprits, but the main culprit is energy prices.
Energy prices.
Which has its own... I guess a ripple effect on other things that we'll talk about in a minute.
Well, it's like smoke in the air. I mean, petroleum is the oxygen of the marketplace, and when it goes up, everything is affected. Everything is affected without exception.
No question.
And you know, even the nomads in the Gobi Desert are affected by
petroleum. This run-up has lasted long enough that the ripple effects are really now being felt, and we expect prices to stay a bit high now, we're seeing these ripple effects, you know, going into next year.
Well, let me tell you how this is playing out in the boardrooms, large and small, across the country. we got most, many of us, especially our small business owners, we got blindsided by this. This wasn't in our budget, that these higher gas prices. I was just in California, Joan, $2.54 in Southern California.
Wow.
For the 87 octane, $2.54. That's right. And so, in fact, if, you know, many cars, you know, those, the pumps have an automatic shutoff at $50.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, one. Of the, I needed extra room because of some stuff I was hauling, so I had to rent an SUV, and it cut off at $50.
Now,
what I was going to say, just to finish that one thought is that we didn't expect this, we didn't see it coming,
no.
We didn't budget
Nobody
for
did.
It, we didn't contract for these prices in our. With our in our contracts, our agreements, and so now that we sort of feel like this is something we're going to have to live with, we're budgeting for it. It's cutting into our pricing power. It's cutting into our profits, and we're not quite as froggy about 2005 as we would have been. And it reflects in your reporting.
That's right, and the, one of the difficulties here is the inability to pass on those price increases.
Exactly right. The pricing power,
to the end user.
The fleeting pricing power.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of it
got
in 2004.
A little bit back. Yeah.
And now we're having trouble with that.
Yeah.
It's probably gone a long way towards throwing US Air back into bankruptcy. It's probably going to throw Delta Airlines into bankruptcy in the next couple of weeks.
ATA American, I don't know how you pronounce it, or the right word. There's another airline. There's a small. Oh, and Independence Air too is having trouble too.
You mean ASA?
No, ATA.
Oh, I don't know them.
I'll check that one in a minute.
there's no relief. I mean, they're all affected by it. But anyway, it's a serious thing. But the thing is, folks, is we just got a budget for it. And Joni, if you remember back in January when we were talking about when the prices started up, I said, folks, you need to believe these numbers and expect them to be with you for a while. Now, what I didn't take into consideration, what I didn't know. I believe that the prices were going to hold steady at the higher rates because of demand, supply and demand. But what we now know is that the speculators have gotten involved, and that's driven a lot of the prices up over.
That's right.
Partially for speculation purposes, and partially because of what's going on in the Middle East.
That's right.
So good reporting
that's
here,
good.
Joan. First quarter GDP less than 3%. Next quarter.
I'm sorry to say it's true, and we're factoring into this. It's not just gasoline and transportation worries. It's also heating bills are going to slam both consumers and businesses over the winter months.
Mm-hmm. Especially people in the Northeast who use a lot of heating oil.
Right.
They're going to be hit pretty hard too.
That's right.
Because a lot of the rest of the country uses electricity, which still is affected, but not as directly.
Or natural gas.
Stand by. Quick break, 20 after. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame, your host. This is Robert Cray. He's the singer taking us out. Back, it's 23 after the hour. A little Chicago there for you. We're rocking and rolling. Joan, you like Chicago?
Yes, I do.
That's good music, isn't it? Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger.
I actually agree with that.
You do. She doesn't always agree with me, folks. In fact, she rarely agrees with me.
That's
right. Okay, what are consumers going to do for us, Joan, in this as the economy maybe softens a little bit? What are consumers going to do?
Well, see, they're one of the problems here, but I don't blame them at all because we keep saying, you know, they've been the marathon runners through thick and thin
over the last Atlas.
Yeah, the thing that their Achilles heel is finally now these high energy prices. So we're saying that the pace of growth in consumer spending is going to be slowing down, and we're not confident that businesses can pick up the slack right away, or as we say, play the rescuer, because they're facing the same problem with energy prices. And as we pointed out before the break, they are having trouble passing on these costs.
You know, Joan, in the 21st century, when we have so much technology out there, it's hard for me to believe that we can't come up with a way to propel our bodies and our goods around the globe without depending so much on fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like a naderite or some tree hugger or whatever. Far be it from me. Yeah. But my capitalist genes just won't let me do that. But the thing is, it does bother me that we are more dependent upon foreign oil today than ever before. And as we reported from your letter within the last year, we're headed in the wrong direction on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, aren't we?
No question about it. It's very scary. Very worried.
I forgot what it was, Joan. Back in 6-8 months ago, you guys came up with an outstanding piece of information about how much more dependent we are today than 20 years ago, and how much more, the number shocked me, it frightened me, we're going to be in 10 years from now.
Well, and there's this guy out there, and I forget his name, I'm sorry about that, but he's trying to get people to see, he may be wrong, he may be blowing smoke, but he keeps worrying that the world is getting to the point where we have reached, 50% of all known reserves.
Yeah.
And once we hit 50%, then it's all downhill from there.
Well, I'm not as smart as that guy, but here's what I have thought. What I have thought about the Saudis, to my knowledge, we don't know how much reserves the Saudis have.
Oh.
We think that they're the number one. They have the largest reserves in the world, but I don't know that they've ever told anybody outside of their own little group over there what they have. As far as I know, I think I read somewhere that we don't know what their reserves are. They could be. What was it, Shell or some company, overstated their reserves and they got into trouble for it.
Right. I remember that.
And so, if a national, an international conglomerate can do it, a country can.
Sure.
And so, that's something to think about. And of course, the other thing to think about is, if people think we shouldn't be in Iraq, we shouldn't be trying to install democracy in Iraq. Iraq is next door to Saudi Arabia. What if it wouldn't take all that much, in my opinion, for terrorists to overthrow Saudi Arabia?
Well, and as you know, Osama bin Laden and many of his followers are Saudi Arabian.
That's
and
right.
have quite a big beef against the Saudi Arabian government,
mm-hmm.
or the Saudi royal family, I should say.
Yep, absolutely. Businesses are going to, as we talked earlier, Joan, they're going to start adjusting their budgets for this, so they're not going to be able to hold the economy up. So I'm assuming that's the reason you guys have come up with this a little less than 3% in the first quarter. It'll be interesting to see. But Joan, the thing about it, though, is events can happen. If we have a successful election, and when I say successful, I'm not talking about any particular party. I just mean that there's not too much acrimony as a result of the election.
Well, I'd also be happy to get through the election without a terrorist attack, too.
That, too. If we could get some good news, if we could have a successful election in Iraq in January. My point is, there are plenty of things out there that could go right over the next 4 months or so that could really make people feel a lot better about. And Joan, it wouldn't take an awful lot for oil to come down below $40 or even, down into closer to the $30 range.
Well, and I think we're kind of expecting that at least to get a $10 break on oil over the next several months, but it's just not going to happen right away is the problem.
So the thing about it is that, we've got a little bit of a current trend here, but there are some good things out there that could happen. There are some things that people have done that could create some positive news. It's not all bad.
Yeah.
It's just that it could go, in some ways, it could go either way.
That's true.
I am, and I don't want to bring that up right now. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But I am concerned about how ugly the election could get.
Yes, well, we'd have to worry about that.
Was it like 15,000 attorneys spread across the country out there on both sides?
Oh yeah, they're already litigating, I think, in some cases.
Well, they've already got their pro forma lawsuits in their briefcases.
Yeah, sure.
So who knows about that? Industries, Joan, that are going to take the brunt of the blow. You guys say, industry equipment and IT manufacturers, retailers are going to be hit by it. And
right.
Anybody.
And the farmers.
It's exactly right. God bless our farmers. God bless them, everyone. I used to be one. 29 after, we'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pride. senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Welcome back. It's good to have you here. It's good to have Joan Pride here, too. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And don't forget their website, folks. I'd like to encourage you to go to their website, kiplinger.com. It's an outstanding place to go for good information. And you can subscribe to their publications there, which you guys are still giving the Blassingame 30-day free trial, right, Joan?
You bet. And that's, of course, what we call it.
Exactly. That's what all the operators, folks, when you call the number Joan gives you, all the operators are going to say, oh, yeah, how's Jim doing? You know, how's he doing? Tell him hi for me. They'll all say that.
Yeah, try that. See what happens.
Go ahead and give us that number.
Yeah. Oh, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
That's where you can call to subscribe to either the letter, the Kiplinger letter, which is in its 81st year now. Or is it 82nd year, isn't
it? Yes, sir.
82nd year.
That's right.
And that's weekly. And then they've got the three biweekly letters, the California letter, the agriculture letter for the good old farmers out there, God bless them, and then the tax letter, and then they got a magazine that I saw on the newsstand at the airport yesterday, John, the Kiplinger letter. It's like Chicken Man. He's everywhere.
Well, the Kiplinger magazine, yeah.
What did I say? Yeah, the magazine.
You said the letter, yeah.
I'm sorry, the Kiplinger personal finance magazine.
Excuse me, did you purchase it?
Why would I purchase it when I have one here already?
You have the magazine?
I get the magazine every month.
You do?
Joan, I can't get enough of your stuff.
Why? Goodness.
I get the Kiplinger letter by email and print.
I know.
I must have it on Friday. And then you send it to me on and then see that's the belt, Joan. I must have the Kiplinger letter on Friday by email.
Or it ruins your weekend.
That's the belt. And then the suspenders comes on Monday when it comes in by on hard copy by mail.
Jim?
Yes.
You need to get a life.
I need to get a life.
Yeah.
You're right.
Need to get a life.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so anyway, folks, I encourage you to check them out. They're good folks, and they've got some good stuff that I'll tell you what, I mean this because, you know, they don't pay me anything to say this. They're not, they
John
don't.
Right.
And more's the pity, but it's good information. It really helps you. Joan, interesting thing about the Indians here in energy. Tell us about that. American Indians.
I didn't realize you weren't on the first page.
Work with me, Joan. We're over on page two.
Yeah. Well, now, see, there's the cue. Thank you for the cue. Well, this is sort of interesting that they're trying to cash in, and there's a bunch of tribes that, you know, the Indians are sort of famous now for having the gambling casinos.
They're becoming entrepreneurs, aren't they?
Well, they realize that there's oil reserves on the reservation.
Yep.
And they're trying to, you know, more power to them, make some money off
we
of
drove
it.
By a casino in Southern California this last week, and Hildegard said, is it gambling legal in California? I said, if you're an Indian, it is.
But the interesting thing here, all seriousness aside, is that, I mean, we say here that these reserves could increase natural gas supplies by 20% over several years and oil production by about 6%. That's a lot.
20% adding to the reserves. Exactly. But now, don't you think some environmentalist is going to come along and say, wait. You can't bother the sweet little horned toad that's going to be afflicted by this.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Because, you know every time somebody talks about drilling in ANWR, the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge, you know, CNN puts up a little video of a fawn reindeer running across the tundra.
Well, the poor little penguins and baby seals.
Bambi, yeah. But
we have no heart.
You know, we've got to be... We got to do some things on conservation. We got to do some things on new exploration. We got to do some things on new technology, Joan. We've got to change the way we think about propelling our machines and our bodies and our goods, don't we?
Well, I don't want to slaughter the poor penguins, if that's what you're
the
saying.
The penguins? Nobody's mentioned penguins, Joan.
I did.
Nobody said.
I'm pro-penguin.
You pro-penguin.
Are you anti-penguin?
No, but this has nothing to do with penguins, Joan.
Yes, it does.
Indians, there are no penguins around American Indians.
No, I was still back up in Anwar.
Oh, there are no penguins in Alaska.
Really?
No.
Oh, they're at the South Pole, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's got to be something up there
See?
I can protect.
Penguins. Where did you get that?
I don't know.
You know, we were so impressed with your intelligence up to then.
Up you
to
were?
The
ping,
right up
well,
to the penguin remark. Right up to the penguin remark. We were really impressed with your intelligence.
That's a surprise.
But you kind of took a little setback there. When we come back after these messages, folks, we're going to get Joan. I'm going to give Joan a wildlife lesson while we're gone, and a geography lesson. Business costs. We're going to talk about some of those. We're going to talk about some small business financial issues, banks, some banking stuff that you're going to want to know about. And we're going to talk a little bit about the election coming up. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride, Miss Penguin. Joan Pride, stay with us.
And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, are we going to get some help from insurance coverage? Some rate hikes are going to be a little off this time, maybe?
Well, it's interesting. It's not that rates won't go up. It's just that in most cases, they won't go up as much as they have been, with one glaring exception, which is directors and officers insurance, which is sort of what I call corporate governance insurance.
Which is not a big expense for small businesses.
Right, unless you're some kind of public company, which generally you would not be.
That's right.
So workers' comp and just general types of policies shouldn't be in the double digits in terms of increases next year, which is good news because it's been pretty rough the last few years.
Exactly. And so, folks, you might want to look around. And if your carrier, and one of the reasons why this is good information, Joan, is because if some of our listeners' carriers try to give them that kind of a raise, and they might, because they might say, somebody might say, well, look, we've been getting away with this for 4 years now. Let's go ahead and give it another shot.
Yeah.
If the increases are not lower than they have been in terms of percentages, you might want to make sure you shop around. In fact, it'd probably be a good idea anyway, just to shop around a little bit.
Absolutely.
Medical malpractice is still headed up. You said, and we don't know about terrorism insurance, and that's something that we didn't have to worry about 4 or 5 years ago, was it?
Well, the thing about terrorism insurance, the government is sort of the reinsurer. It's sort of the backstop behind the insurance companies, but that was a temporary thing, and that expires at the end of next year. And so a lot of insurance companies have been sort of making noise about the need to continue that beyond 2005.
Right, right. Well, these are just some things, just a little heads up there, folks. Joan, let's move over to top of piece three and talk about health care. One of the things that you guys report this week is that one of the ways to cut health care costs without cutting care is do some disease management programs. Now, what's that all about?
Well, if you take employees who have chronic diseases, and I guess the best example would be diabetes, but I could think another one would be asthma. If they follow their doctor's orders, if they're good about doing exercise and diet and taking their medications properly, you can minimize complications of these diseases, and then you keep the bills down.
Well, you could also do something. You could, as Dr. Phil says, you could put these little posters up on the wall in the break rooms, and as Dr. Phil would say, put the Twinkie down.
Right.
Just remind people not to stick stuff in their mouth all the time.
Yeah. Well, it would help if you took that Twinkie machine, the candy and
that's right.
and cake machine out of the break room. But
put the Twinkie down. I like saying that. And this is a good idea. I mean, for years companies didn't do that. Now more and more companies are realizing that it's good for everybody. It's good for the business. It's good for the employees. It's good for the families.
Right.
If we can be healthier. And Joan, You don't have to drive around America very much to see. I haven't heard anybody argue with the people who say that we have an epidemic of obesity in America.
Oh, that's right. Everybody agrees.
I mean, I've never heard anybody say, that's crazy, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And so we all need to do a little better job of looking out for ourselves. And it's contributed, our eating practices, our Twinkie addictions have contributed to our high health care costs, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, diabetes, cholesterol, heart disease, the whole thing.
And by the way, Joan, the baking company that makes the Twinkie, didn't they take bankruptcy or something?
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, maybe unfortunately, you know, maybe the people have been putting the Twinkie.
You know,
down.
I don't know why we're dumping on the Twinkie. I like Twinkies. You know, I haven't had one in years, but they're great.
Well, you are kind of a Twinkie, Joan. Let's talk about small business finances. What's going on with small businesses and their banks?
Well, this is sort of interesting to me because we keep saying how small businesses should keep in mind their local banker.
Independent community banks.
Right. The local.
God bless them, everyone.
They're great. But what's interesting is the national banks and the regional banks are kind of waking up to this, and they're beginning to try to get back some of those small business customers that they may have lost. Mm-hmm. Whereas even though they have, you know, an array of services, they might not offer sort of the personal, I guess, knowledge of the area and of the small business that the local banker offers.
Well, let me give you some inside baseball on this, Joan.
Sure.
The major banks, which I have nothing against them, and I think small business owners should do business with them. I just think that they shouldn't be the only bank that they do business with.
Right.
I think they should have at least one of their banks. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say it 1,000 more times if I can. At least one of your banks must be an independent community bank if you're a small business. But then you can also do business with the larger banks. But what happens, Joan, is sometimes the larger banks will cherry pick. By doing credit scoring and by cherry picking, they'll go in, they'll pick off only the very best and the most solid financially of small businesses when all small businesses need help. And
that's right.
And so then that leaves the independent community banks to try to help those people who maybe need a little more of a factor for character. And credit scoring, there is no element in the credit scoring method that where you can dial in a component for character. It doesn't exist. But in personal banking relationships, a lot of it is about character. And so, folks, do business with large banks. Do business with small banks. Make sure that one of your banks is a small bank. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Right back after these messages, we're going to talk a little bit about trade, and then we're going to talk a little bit about retail, and then we're going to talk a little bit about elections. Stay with us, 10 till. Back at 7 till, and we're having a good time with our good friend Joan Prize, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, the trade acrimony between Europe and the U.S., between the EU, I guess I should say, European Union, and the U.S. is just heating up, isn't it?
I think it would be winding down because we just passed this repeal of the export tax subsidy, mm-hmm. but no.
Yeah, the Boeing versus Airbus thing,
right,
is really kind of getting this thing going again. And you know, Joan, one of the things, you know, there's a whole lot of good information that we can talk about that are some specifics about this trade. The trade tension between the U.S. and Europe. But you know what it's really about?
What?
They got a bad model over there, and they're uncompetitive on a lot of different levels. And we don't have a bad model. We have a good model, and we are competitive. And if we're not competitive, we figure out a way to become competitive. And here's my point. You guys either have or probably are about to report that Europe is growing at maybe less than 2% a year.
Yeah, that was just in the Wall Street Journal. That's right.
We were down in the mouth 30 minutes ago because next quarter we're only going to have maybe 3%.
Right.
You know, we're all tore down about, you know, going down to 3%.
Yeah, it's a bad year when it's not 5%.
They would feel like that, you know, that Santa had rained all over them with, you know, if they went up to 3%. And the reason, you know, France's unemployment is 10 or 11%.
Yeah.
They're socialistic management practices, employment practices, and so much of the way they do business and the way they run their governments in old Europe, as Mr. Rumsfeld said, is just not competitive.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're going to the courts. They're taking to the what's the name of the courts? The World Trade.
The World Trade Organization.
Well, is that no? There's a court that's. I've forgotten it. I read it yesterday.
The Court of World Trade or something like that?
Well, no, I've forgotten what it's called. Anyway, there is a court that they can take all this to, and they're doing that. They may be about to do that again. And in fact, our U.S. Trade Representative, Ambassador Zulick, is over there right now talking about these things.
Wow.
Here's my point, Joan, is a lot of their problems is not because we're being unfair, it's just because they're being uncompetitive.
Well, they seem to just grow their way out of these problems.
Well, and Joan, you shouldn't try to litigate out of being uncompetitive.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a source of relief.
Yeah, but they do that repeatedly.
Well, they do, and that's unfortunate. So anyway, folks, just that's my point of view, and as you notice these things, why is this important? Because we want to sell products to Europe, right?
Absolutely.
And we want them to buy our stuff. I want Europe to be competitive. Because Joe, when they grow at 4% a year, they're buying more American stuff.
That's right. It helps us.
Yeah, exactly. More of my books. That's what I like.
Right.
How's the holiday season shaping up, Joan?
Oh, do we have to talk about this?
Is it not
another
good?
Bit of bad news.
What's
we're
wrong?
Saying there won't be a lot of holiday cheer for retailers.
You guys can
a
turn a phrase,
a lot of competition, and, you know, we've always said the poor consumer is kind of flagging a little bit. So they're going to be insisting on bargains, so there's not going to be much profit taking this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be tougher on the people who cater more to the middle and low-income consumers?
Right.
Why is that?
Well, they're the ones that are getting hit hardest by the energy,
gas prices,
rise in energy prices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when the higher gas prices are really cutting into these household budgets. There's no
it's like
question.
A regressive tax almost.
Absolutely. Joan, let's move down and talk about the elections. We got less than 2 weeks, right?
That'd be about 12 days now.
Yep. Yeah. Something like that.
A week from next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for it to be over.
You want to make a prediction?
I predict that we will get through the elections without a terrorist attack.
You do? Okay. Would you?
I hope I'm
would
right.
you? What if you? Would you predict that we'd get through the elections without a lawsuit?
Oh, that's too tough. No, I couldn't put money against
I think,
that.
I hope so. I think we might want to. We might want to count on that. I bet.
Yeah.
I even heard a Democrat the other day say he hoped it was a landslide for somebody.
I do. I honestly do too.
Yeah.
Well, not a landslide, but I hope it's a clear winner.
Clear win for somebody.
What's interesting here? Do you agree with this prediction about Ralph Nader?
That he's not going to play a part.
Yeah.
I think he will spoil in some areas, but not as much as he has been. Joan, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Next time we're together, though, we are going to talk a lot about the election, aren't we?
Absolutely.
All
we're
the states.
Have that map.
Yeah, that famous Kiplinger
map.
Thanks, Joan. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.